Chris Antonetti speaking to the Cleveland media earlier today, putting a nice bow on the 2024 Cleveland Guardians season.
Like one of those big bows you get when you buy one of those cars in the Christmas commercials?
Yeah, but you don't get a car because now baseball's over.
No.
Like, at least in those commercials, which are wildly ridiculous and in no way realistic.
By the whole household, a fleet of cars all at once.
At least you got the car. In this case, I got to wait another 4 months to unbox the next car. And I got to, like the NBA starts tonight. You've got Braun and Bronny. I got no interest because I just want to watch the Guardians play baseball still.
You also hate Braun and Bronny for some reason together.
That's weird. When have I ever said that?
I thought you said that.
No.
Do I have a wrong take by you?
I think you, you've misappropriated.
You went on a rant about the idea that you didn't want to see them ever again on the same court and all this other stuff. Wrong guy?
Is there another fat bearded man on this station?
I want to make this clear then. Are you pro Braun and Bronny? Are you going to have a tear as they suit up together tonight?
Is there a Nick Wilson doppelganger also doing afternoon drive in Cleveland?
I think I just like appropriating takes to you for some reason, I guess. I don't know.
I thought you said the Federal Exchange was a bad idea. But Nick, you said peace in the Middle East wasn't attainable. I've never said that.
That's the new bit. I'm just going to make up takes for you and just be like, didn't you say that? I think you said that.
I actually think
because we can't keep together our takes anyway, so might as well just be like, you said it.
That's actually really good. The amount of times that I've been like,
I've defended takes that people say that I've had that I just don't remember whether or not I've had them and it's been long enough. And I'm like, I guess I got to defend it.
At the same point, the amount of times where people say, well, you said, I'm like, that's not what I said. No, darn it. No, gosh, stop, please.
Yeah.
Like, but you hate Miles Garrett. I literally never said that. I just criticized him for one thing.
Awfully close that one time.
I don't even remember what you're talking about now.
See?
By the way, Albert had to move to 6 because of his TV schedule, so we'll talk with Albert Breer, but we played Antonetti there because it kind of falls in line with a conversation you and I had, which is that even though you and I both know baseball's a linear thing here, there seem to be two camps that reacted, pretty split camps, on where you feel the Guardians are headed. You either think this season is an anomaly, in a blip on the radar, and they missed their window, and this thing's done, and it's time for all these changes, and you're going to lose again, or you think they're trending upward. And it's interesting to see where people fall in that conversation.
Oh, I feel like 95% of people, a large majority of people, think that they're trending upward, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 5% that don't, if I'm going to play that side of the coin here, it's because Jose's getting older by the year.
Mm-hmm.
You have to probably trade Josh Naylor this offseason. So that is what is arguably your third best player at this point, despite a really bad postseason. You probably got to trade Josh Naylor. Maybe he goes to the Yankees, by the way. Maybe that's something we got to explore. I don't know.
Wasn't enough just to rip the Band-Aid off on trading Josh Naylor. Now you got to trade him to the Yankees where he can rock the baby in the World Series.
Well, Rizzo's going to be done after this year. They played a guy named Birdie at first base, and he was awful. They need a first base. They need a first baseman. They do.
Listen, I think we have to define what upward versus, meaning moving forward looks like versus moving backwards. So when you say, are they moving backwards or forwards, are we talking about, should we expect them to be in the World Series next year or the ALCS?
Well, so that's the hard part, right? Like, did this version of the Guardians, do they peak at ALCS? And for a lot of people, you'd be like, all right, I'll take that. ALCS appearance is pretty good. If that's what we get in a five-year window in the back part of Jose Ramirez's career, more people than not would sign up for that, I believe. But I don't know that if you say right now that's as good as it's ever going to get, I don't think fans will be happy with that, even if you win more games in each successive year.
I just think that's where ring culture kind of misses me a little bit. Like, I can have, and I do have, just because I don't come out. Listen, I'll be honest with you. The Cleveland radio doesn't need another guy saying blasphemous things about the Dolans. It has not changed anything. It won't. So I deal with the world as it is right now, mm-hmm. which is they could be 10% better and win a World Series. They could also be like other, like one specific other team in this town where the ownership is actively harming you by being too involved in blowing this thing up and doing foolish things. So like I live in a world where, man, I wish the Dolans or ownership or whatever invested more in this team. At the same point, I don't let that stop me from loving this team. And I was so surprised on Saturday how much pride I felt in the Guardians. And we're talking about as they're losing.
I saw a lot of people voicing the same thing. I saw you tweeting out about it as well. I thought it was interesting. It wasn't what I saw coming.
Why is that?
I thought
you
people...
Can appropriate another take to me?
No.
Hey, you're the,
I
you're
swear
the,
you said
you're
the Bronny
fire
thing.
Of the Dolans.
I swear you said the Bronny thing. No, but I really do. I for some reason, I thought the way the series ended, and I thought the fact that Class A blew three postseason games, and I thought the way that Vogt managed a lot of things, including what happened in game one of that series, I thought we were going to get a darker turn of events from the fandom, and it just didn't happen. Instead, everyone kind of rallied around the team and kind of rallied around the season, and it really didn't feel like... They went 27-27 to close out the regular portion of the season, and then they went, obviously, 4-7 in the postseason. It didn't feel like that. It felt like a group that was a fan base that was awfully proud of the group.
Yeah, because I think that should be the takeaway. And listen, I understand it's tough because I do understand the objective is to win the World Series. And maybe some of this is I'm a little bit fatalistic about like the sport in general. It's not a Cleveland problem, guys. It's a baseball problem. Major League Baseball doesn't care about Cleveland. It doesn't care about Kansas City. It doesn't care about Milwaukee. It doesn't care about Tampa Bay.
They get ratings regardless. I mean, you saw the ratings for this series, right? ALCS games 4 and 5 across the networks were up 37% versus last year, and it was the most watched LCS games 4 and 5 in a two-game average on any network in 5 years.
See, but I think the point is they realize that that this comes down to, when I say they don't care, yes, they want the Guardians to be as competitive as they can. But there is a massive, massive issue with how money is doled out in baseball that basically, whether it's the Dolans, Pittsburgh's ownership, Tampa Bay, you're not incentivized to be competitive in any meaningful way. And so basically, you're going to get your money no matter what. And so there's no incentive to spend more money to get more money in your coffers either. So a lot of families are just squatting on these teams and just... And I don't want to say I don't think that about the Dolans. I think they haven't sold because out of respect for the older generation of Dolans, which I get. Feels like I'm wasting a little bit of my life waiting for an organization to spend. But like I can't just constantly come out and just Dolans just doing that. So my point is though, like baseball wants these organizations to be good, but baseball at large, which is the ownership, they don't want to even the playing field. Because the Yankees by themselves make too much money. Why would I then go share money elsewhere?
Well,
same with the Dodgers.
Notice what they did in this postseason then. And this is why I think this postseason, the ratings were up. And I personally have never been more interested in baseball postseason than what I was this year. Because it was just awesome. It was chaos everywhere. But when you add teams to the field, Nick, that's what you're doing. You are making more of a chaotic environment. So any team, whether that is a poor Pirates team that happens to make the field or a poor Guardians team or hell, even the Tigers. I know they're a bigger market, but they didn't spend any money on that roster that they took into the postseason. Once you get in, you got a chance. And the more teams that you can throw in the pot, the more teams feel like they have an opportunity. So I do feel like in expanding the postseason, it almost gave life to a lot of teams that are like the Guardians and the situation that we have.
But I think in the end, it doesn't mean you can't win a World Series in this environment. It means you have to be perfect. And I think the reality is the Yankees are a great team. Juan Soto is, I mean, you could put Juan Soto on most teams in baseball and he'd be the best player.
Right. And that's what they were afforded the luxury of. Yeah. The idea that they were basically a Juan Soto short of watching themselves turn into World Series champions. And now they've got a 7-game series away from being that.
But I think what made it so easy to accept is, one, I think you saw a lot of teams. They play for each other, and then you watch them, and it's not really the case, or there's more egos. Like, how many times do we have to see Josh Naylor celebrating somebody else's success? And it's not just Josh, any of these guys celebrating each other's success. Guys, that's
sure.
I don't believe in altruism to some degree. Like, at some point, there's always a me involved. But when you see a team full of guys who believe in each other and love each other like that, that is special.
Well, and but now you're starting to break part of that up if you trade Josh Naylor.
Well, no, because culture, and this is where we get it wrong, culture isn't just about, well, I like this player, I like this player. No, culture is this ever-evolving thing, and it does emanate in baseball from the manager. But I think to your point, I think some of it is, it was an insanely lovable team who completely overshot expectations on every single turn of the way. Just big picture. We can marginalize, oh, well, these last 54 games, or, oh, they were 4-7 of the postseason. Nobody expected them to be in the postseason. Nobody expected them to be the 2 seed. Like, you got to the ALCS. And then I think the other part of it is, you lost in a way that is completely understandable. Emmanuel Clase wasn't good enough. I'm saying, and I don't mean wasn't good enough for me. I mean, he wasn't good enough because he blew multiple games in the ALCS.
Yeah.
Jose Ramirez didn't have meaningful production when it mattered most, and neither did Naylor. I love those guys, so if they fall short, I can live with that. I can live with your best players just didn't get it done. I think that's so much better than, well, your 9-hole shortstop was the biggest problem here, and by the way, he was your second best player offensively.
Well, it did feel like if we just played 85% of our game, we would have won that series.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, we would have loved to have seen him play their very best, but like, if we played our very best, we win that series. And I think that's what a lot of fans ended up taking away from it.
So I just think, like, you weren't the right team at the right time. And to beat that team, who had the better rotation by far, the healthier rotation by far, who had 3 Joses to your 1, to beat that team, you needed to play your game. And at some point, the Guardians just kind of, I don't know if it was the pressure, I don't know if it was just starting to feel the weight of their own struggles, like with Naylor, where it really just became a self-fulfilling prophecy of struggle. At some point, they stopped playing within their own game.
And it was a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes.
You can't beat the Yankees at their game. You got to do all the little things, and you didn't do it. Like, there's nothing. Sometimes it just is what it is. And I know that's not like the sexy answer. That's not the firebrand scorched earth answer. It's not the one that makes you feel better. But I do think, to some Guardians fans, the idea that the Guardians more beat themselves than the Yankees beat them. And what I mean by that is, Jose didn't play well enough.
Right.
Josh didn't play enough. Clase, okay. Your best players got you here, and your best players couldn't get you over the hump.
Well, now we're in the for you section. We're back there. We are away from the following section because we're logic and reason right now. Like, we're just, I mean, that's all it is. But do you really feel like they're in a better direction moving forward? If you have to trade Naylor, if you have to go ahead and get rid of some of the pieces, especially with the way the starting pitching is going to be set up here next year,
mm-hmm.
Do you feel like they're in a better situation than what the opportunity they just had was?
I don't know. And I think what I will say is this, because I think, so when we say, you know, are they heading forward or are they heading backwards? There's a lot that goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts with, you kind of went and you kind of played it safe this last offseason. Ironically, very close to the Browns, which is, we're going to bring back Laureano, and we're going to bring back the guys we have, but they didn't make any meaningful acquisitions. And it was going to be we're going to play this season out and see where you go. You can't do that again. And it might mean getting pretty radical with your ideas. Like, Josh Naylor might be able to snag you if you put him with a reliever. He might be able to snag you like a serviceable 3 or 4 starter. So it's not as if you're going to get prospects galore. You might have to think about, do we trade Cade Smith or do we trade Emmanuel Clase?
Mm-hmm.
You might have to really think about, well, if there's an offer for Kwan that gets us the 4-hitter that we need, or a young guy that's capable of that, like, you might have to think outside the box and actually take a swing on it. And the Guardians have been super conservative the last 2 years. I think if they play a conservative this offseason, I think you're going to take a step backwards next year. But I think if you put it on the table, so to speak, yeah, I think it's right there. I'm not afraid of the rest of the Central. I respect them. Good teams, good guys. I don't think 4 teams are going to be above 500 again.
Yeah.
In fairness, I don't think the White Sox are going to stink on crap again. But, like, I think it depends on how much you really pursue winning this offseason. That's not about free agency. It's about the willingness to make a swing that's going to make you a little uncomfortable, and I don't think the Guardians have really done that here recently.
No, they haven't done that, and I don't know that they will. I love your thinking. I just don't know that we're going to see that out of them, because they love to be in a spot where you win 85 to 95 games somewhere in that area, which is good. It's nice. They're competitive, and that seems like that's the goal for them. And if they get there, then they'll let the chips fall where they may.
But let's say they're comfortable there, or they do this, and they're back in the ALCS again next year. Is that a step forward or is that a step backwards?
I mean, if they sit there and do nothing and just run it back and say this is the team we have and we don't even identify anything of need, then I don't know how I can look at that as a step forward.
So even if they've done the exact same thing, they're in the game. Let's say they push it to seven games next year.
They weren't the world's greatest team or anything like that. Like, they really weren't. In the final 2 months, they had a good season, but they weren't the world's greatest. Like, there was a lot they could have done to make that team better at the deadline. There's no debating that.
Yeah, if only they had traded for Lane Thomas or signed Matthew Boyd. Man, if only they'd made moves like that. 216-474.
You saw our starting rotation. Don't give me that nonsense. Come on now.
Are they? That was a very good laugh by you. Are they heading? Are the Guardians heading forward or are they heading backwards? More on this next on 92.3 The Fan. Chris Antonetti earlier today.
Just a tinge of bitterness.
I think actually it's a tinge this year. In previous years, it has been fury. I mean, it's been the war path. And I don't know
Yeah,
I mean,
a couple years ago, they were really not very good. And it resulted in Tito, retiring / quitting, whatever you want to call that. And I don't know. I didn't feel like people were like burn the house down. I felt like people just stopped caring at a certain point.
Wait, which year? Because you got
2 years ago,
not 2022,
not 3 years ago when we lost in the postseason. The year in between.
I think. Well, I don't know. I think that was a. I still don't know what to make of that year. I don't that.
Can we just pretend it didn't happen because I feel like that's what a lot of the fan base has tried to do.
It's oddly close to how this year was, where it was just like this wild mix of just a little bit of self-fulfilling prophecy, but where you just kept shooting yourself in the foot, and anytime something would start to go right that had previously gone wrong, then something new would go wrong. You just kept springing leaks. And then I think at some point we realized Tito probably wasn't where he needed to be to lead that team.
It felt like everyone just kind of gave up on the season was all it was. Once you had the McKenzie and the Bieber injuries, it just kind of felt like people just kind of gave up.
I think it was when they traded Josh Bell and they traded
That was
Eric
halfway
Savali.
Through the season, though. Josh Bell one was, yeah.
No. That was at the deadline, and I don't think
the deadline, halfway through the season.
Now I'm just going to start to argue mathematical semantics here. Because I don't think that's... I'm just curious, because I've said I'm not entirely sold that you're moving forward next year. I'm not entirely sold, but you are the youngest team in baseball to be able to make the playoffs. I think you've got a lot of young guys playing. I think some of those guys came up in the postseason and that portrays well going forward. Like Manzardo and Rocchio, who hit the cover off the ball, and that's been forgotten because of two errors. I think that tells you that this should not just be a blip like 2022 was. But how they attack the offseason, I think, really does matter. For you, where do you see them going forward or backwards?
No, I see them going forward. The only parts I have that are a little bit of a hesitancy is I J-Ram's getting older and older. And although he doesn't seem like he's slowing down, at some point he's going to eventually start to slow down. And then, I don't know, is trading Josh Naylor, is that really going to upset the apple cart that much?
Yeah, it's so tough because Josh is a really good baseball player. And I think he's... kind of like Hedges, he's got kind of a value a little bit more than just what he does on the field. And he is coming off a career year. But, like, you've got plenty of first basemen, right? Between Manzardo, John Kensie, and even David Fry.
Yeah.
So, depending on what you get for Josh, I don't think necessarily trading Josh...
I don't think fans are going to be heartbroken if Josh Naylor is gone. But we do have to recognize he was, like, the third best player on this team this year from an offensive standpoint. And that matters when you lose that type of guy.
I actually think there will be some fans. I think Josh was infuriating in October because he was in just the slump of all slumps. I think there are more just Josh Naylor fans around here because of the way he plays the firebrand of baseball than maybe you think.
I've heard more Josh Naylor's fat jokes than I give for a lifetime.
I'm right here because I've said them. But I think again, like,
they treated him like he was Zion Williamson.
That's the frustration in the moment versus the way they feel. It's kind of like the Miles thing, where Miles might frustrate me, but that's my guy. And if you trade him, we get a problem. I don't know Josh is to that level, meaning, like, if you trade him, we get a problem. So it's all about what do you get in return for him? Because if you get a reliever, I don't think it's going to move the needle.
I don't think the return's going to be massive enough for people to think that you got the better end of it.
Here's the thing. Baseball values are really tough to kind of figure out. I think if I can trust this front office to do one thing, extrapolating maximum value for Josh Naylor is the thing I can.
Yeah, they end up on the right end of this more times than not.
But I think it's more likely maybe you package him with a reliever, like one of your, like a Nick Sandlin,
right,
like
but
not
see,
a high leverage guy.
You see what I'm saying, though, and how what a massive loss this could be and how we're all just kind of, I don't know, I'm not going to say glossing over it. People are definitely cognizant of it. We're having these conversations. I think it matters. I think it matters.
So it matters that you don't turn this into a Laureano or dead money. That's what it matters. Yeah, like if you're going to trade Josh, you have to turn it into another positive asset. And I think, I do think what this year proved for folks, even though, again, the Guardians did not have a good offseason last year. Laureano was a bust. Hedges was the best move they made. The things that they did in the in season were because they got real thin depth-wise real early and yeah. Then had to make up for it by signing Matthew Boyd and all this other stuff. But, like, I do think there's an element of, well, they won, so I trust the team again, so we're good. And what I mean by that is, I don't know I should expect the Guardians to be in the World Series next year. I think there are things they can do that might help them. It also could hurt them if they screw it up. But at the same point, like, I expect them to be competitive in the Central. I expect them, Kwan, Hosey, getting a healthy rotation, like, that cancels out losing Naylor if you have to trade him, or even if Shane Bieber goes and signs one of those one-year deals. Like, I just think there's a lot of, okay, let's see what let's see what you do.
I'm going to be curious to find out what people eventually rate them going into the season, because Hedges was like, oh, they'll have to respect us now and do all this stuff. I just know how these baseball guys work. I know how the advanced analytical people work. They're going to look at a bullpen that was the best in baseball, which is not something that you really copy and paste from year to year and really rely on that heavily. And then I'm going to look and see a starting rotation that's probably going to be a lot of the same guys you had in the final 3 months of the season. And I don't know, Nick. I mean, it won't shock me if it's another maybe 85, 86, 87 win projection.
That's fine, because projections mean nothing when you get on the field. And the organization has shown, if you go ahead and win some games, even if it's not trading for Mike Trout, we'll at least make some moves that like they did with Lane Thomas and Matthew Boyd and things like that. So I think that's very likely they are heading, if not heading forward, treading water, being very similar, very competitive. So you're saying that's kind of where you are, but I'm just trying to figure out.
Yeah, no, they're going forward.
Okay.
But there's an opportunity if they don't make the right moves to kind of slide a little bit, for sure.
Albert Breer, MMQB, next on 92.3 The Fan.